This is an Enterprise Times podcast. My name is Ian Murphy. I'm here with Jörg Gross of Oerlikon.
Hello, hi. I'm Jörg Gross from Oerlikon Manmade Fibers section from Germany. Our factory office is located in Remscheid. It's near Cologne, Düsseldorf. I'm glad to be with you here.
You've made a presentation at OpenStack Berlin talking about man-made fibers and how you've used cloud to control all of your machinery and manufacturing. Can you give us a little bit more on what you've been doing with cloud?
Maybe let me get one step back in the history, where we are coming from. We have one world-leading manufacturers for man-made fiber machines. Man-made fiber is used maybe in every part, in your clothes, in your shoes, on your seatbelt, in your airbag, on the tire cord, everything. There is no yarn from our machines. What I want to point out, in the history, we had machines doing the work. There's always software on it, for sure, and we're doing all the things, making statistics, recipe downloads, whatever you need to control a machine. But now the things change dramatically. Driven by the Industry 4.0 and the digitalization and the Internet of Things, the pressure on our customers grows to make the integration. That means they have to have more efficiency. They must react much more faster on new requests from their customers. Let me say an example. Maybe years ago, they're doing one product for a year or half a year doing the same. Now it changed to a week or less than a week. That means they have to react very fast, get the quality under control, able to fulfill their customers' needs. Therefore, the digitalization is a good driver to enable them to do this. Besides having our own equipment under control, now it becomes more and more important to have the whole operations under control. Besides our machines we deliver, there are steps before and steps in between and steps behind our machine, the whole workflow. But all the things have tremendously impact on the quality of the product. This other thing handled by the customer itself, doing their own system, doing it manually on Excel-based or whatever, or they buy systems to do this. But to have a really good quality and make it easier, it makes sense from our perspective to integrate all the steps, to put all this inside information together and to create an image of the complete workflow, including the production itself and the operation in between. This is the point where cloud came into play. You have, besides your own stuff, a lot of things you have to integrate. You have a lot of services, new software requirements, which have to be located at the customer size. And this is not modules. Thing is, when you have to customize all the modules, that thanks for the operation, every customer do it in a different way. This operation, that means for the integration, you need a platform where you can make a sufficient solution for his special efforts. Besides the standard modules, you have standard modules operating your machines, and you have a lot of customized stuff doing his operations, and they have to work together. And the cloud is a perfect solution for this. If we're talking about cloud, we go the approach, we have cloud on edge on the customer side. Cloud is in our conservative business, and cloud is seen critical, especially in China. Unbelievable, but the most China customers said, don't use cloud. And so we come up with the idea to have a cloud on premises. On one side, to say we have all the functionality a cloud offers us, updating the software, zero downtime updates, and all these funny buzzwords, but it makes really sense to have it. Therefore, we want to have a cloud technology. We put it on site. That means as a customer, all his data are in private. He's the owner of his own data. He could be sure that it's their data. And he could be sure whenever the cloud is down, the network all over the world is down, he's able to run his production. One thing you have to know is, yes, if the production normally goes down, it's a mess. But if you have a petrochemical factory, it means you can't stop. The worst thing can happen if you stop the production. That means you make productions going on, even if you know that you are producing waste.
That potential failure of the communications and networks going down has been a big inhibitor for manufacturers for quite a while. Although, ironically, they are much more advanced than many companies in the use of technology to control equipment on site, CAD down to cutting machines and other things. Their lack of trust in communications has been a big hurdle to overcome. When you started to talk cloud with them, how much of a barrier was the risk of something breaking and them not being able to continue to work?
Besides privacy and trust and data, this is the biggest issue. that say, okay, what has happened? They know sometimes the infrastructure is good. They know that the internet is broken sometimes, and a lot of customers take a lot of efforts to get a stable connection. And then they have 3 or 4 internet providers in parallel to establish, to guarantee, to ensure a good connection, so they know it happens.
If we look at how the supply chain and manufacturing has changed, it is no longer about a customer posting or sending over a file. They want to have real-time communication with the manufacturer. Part of that is also about ensuring quality, where customers want to see what's going on with quality. In your presentation, you talked about how you have to be so careful with yarn, because in one bobbin of yarn, just 5 centimeters could be enough to completely invalidate a whole set of product. Could you give us a bit more about how you work on the man-made fibres, but also how quality and cloud and your system has changed that relationship between customers and the manufacturing plant?
What George explains, he said, especially if it's for industrial yarn, it's called industrial yarn, and maybe for tire cord or for seat belts, things you see, and this is important to have a good quality. And this is a centimeter with a fault could end up as a catastrophic. The quality is online measured, and they have a labs in the back and measure this thing. It costs a lot of money to do this because you have to ensure, you have to document all the quality information for a long time. It's like medical or something like this. If you're working in this area, it's not for clothes, for sure not, but for this high technic yarns, you have to. We like to store all the data on site, so we are sure we get every data. Such a bobbin has no quality information, you can't sell it. The customer wants to know. For the seat belts, it must be sure. And what you mentioned is that, yes, that the plants are going all over the world, and so we connect them. In history, we did it also. So we do it with the intranet of the customer. We just give him the software, and he is responsible for the networking. But now we changed our idea and said, okay, Oerlikon provide you a private cloud. This is called OMF Cloud, Oerlikon Man-Made Fiber. You can connect the system to it, and we can store data for you if you want. We have data center all over the world for our enterprise, and say, okay, we can use this data center to store and to manage data all over the world for him. This means that he can connect his sites to the cloud, and we can exchange data. But once again, exchange just the data he commit to. We don't not say we put everything into the cloud. We just say, okay, if you want to have such functionality, we need this data. Do you agree? And so, and we document how often and what and when we get this data from his systems.
How much of that is about maintenance? Because once you can see into the machines, you're able to see how well a machine is working. Downtime from manufacture is money lost. And one of the things we've learned from the big engine manufacturers for aircraft, Rolls-Royce and GE, is that it's one thing to have a schedule where you say to somebody, we must change this component after so many hours. But the reality is components do not wear on a linear basis. And they certainly don't wear on somebody else's schedule. Sometimes components can go twice the length of life. But if you can't see into the machine, you can't do that. Are your customers taking advantage of you being able to see into the machines to see what's going on to improve their uptime? And if so, how much has that changed the relationship between you and them?
Talking good point, this is a very important point. And frankly speaking, we are not finished with this product, but this is a big project. And says that we can make maintenance just in time. Not normally, right now, it's done on a regular basis, and it's happened what you are told, no? Too often or too seldom maintenance, so that people want to be sure the customer, so we make it more often than it has to be. This is a big advantage for them if you can say, just bring the stuff now to the maintenance. We are in this discussion with them. Some customers have no problem. It depends a little bit what they are doing. If some doing commodity, they say, don't care, take all my data, and some doing the Coca-Cola, and they don't want to let you look in. Even they don't trust us. But the things are changing. 3 or 4 years ago, no one let you in, and now they said, okay, I trust you, you show me what you are doing with the data, and so I believe in you, and you can get the data. Not all, but the amount of them is increasing. And the idea, what we have in mind, is that we now put the data from the sites with our data coming from the enterprise, from the construction. Can see, okay, this lot of a special, we had a problem. Maybe the bearings are not as good as they should, just an example. So that we can give them a hint or can see if they're getting the data from our winding systems, for example, okay, and see the torque values, say, okay, now the winder comes to a point where it should go to maintenance. This is clearly the idea we have. We are working on these things. And we also doing some artificial stuff on this for analyzing the currents and the torque and finding pattern in this to see what is going on with the equipment. This way we are working hard on these issues to give the customer a hint to do this. Another initiative, we call it smart maintenance workshops. We can offer the customer the service that we maintain them, like the guys for the aeroplanes do it for the jets, for the turbines. We can do this, that we have the whole vita of such equipment and see what has changed and when to do. This is things we have in mind, and it looks like that a lot of customers really like this because the system is more and more complex.
Where do you go next? Because you've started to talk about maintenance. You've got customers who are sending you some data, but not all. So it's hard to build a fully aggregated picture so that you can see how different customers are using and do a lot of really detailed predictive maintenance. But in terms of additional functionality and capabilities, what are you looking at over the next couple of years?
Our idea is, sure, to like getting more and more data, not to get a spy, but to have a clear picture of what you are mentioning. We have a way to go to achieve this. But what he have beside maintenance is that we are able to help him to optimize his production, and we are able to give him new services that we can download the new functionality to his system. From the history, say, normally he bought a machine, he installed it, put software on it, make a bug fix, and then the business is over. But our idea is how to stay in contact with the customer, to help him to grow, to say, okay, we're looking together on your process. You are the best for your operations, and we are the best for our machines, and together we can come to a higher level. This is what we have in mind on our new business, so that we custom to exchanging data, creating new services, optimize them with them, to have a not longer the just customer and supplier, more than like partners. This is our the aim we want to achieve. It's no secret that the equipment becomes more and more equal competitors. We are on such a higher level of physics, we cannot get over it. So the gap between comes more and more closer.
So it all becomes about selling services.
Digitalization is one of the market that's really growing. And as we learned, especially I learned, I go to the customer sitting on his back and going to his production. Sitting, going with operators, just looking what they are doing, asking silly questions to understand what they are really doing, what is their needs, why they do this. From this, we get a lot of potential what we can do. So understanding why they're doing this. And if you want to save money, operation is one of the biggest things where you can save money to improve the operation of such a plant, to avoid waste or to avoid downtimes or to shorten downtimes. This is where you can earn a lot of money.
You made the choice to go with OpenStack as your cloud platform. Why was that decision made?
Yes, for sure, we evaluate a lot of things. We are also driven to check at first the things like Siemens, all these great automation providers, and we did. And we also looked at cloud suppliers like Microsoft Azure Cloud. Two things which make the decision for OpenStack. One thing is that we not starting on a green field. That means we have a lot of history. Maybe 99% is history and a new machine, but he has 100 machines, 5, 6, or 10 years old. And he not say, don't take care of them. In the new solution, the old stuff must be integrated. We need a solution where we are able to integrate the legacy as well as the new systems. So we're looking for things, how it's manageable, the old things. Normally, it's not willing to touch an old system. Software is 10 years old. No one wants to touch them, really, no? So we need something low risk to put them into the new level of digitalization. And we need a platform where we can go with the state-of-the-art technologies into the future. The OpenStack gives us the possibility to manage legacy stuff and maybe in virtual machines beside of container-based software, and with just creating new small modules which allows us to intercommunicate, we are able to get all the data from the legacy and put it into the cloud, and so that the old machines can take advantage of the new functionalities. This was the big advantage of OpenStack, and sure, in the presentation we show just the big plants with 1,000 winders, 20 times football field. But the whole story is that we have also small customers having 3 or 4 machines. And so we need a system which really scales. It must be suitable for one customer with 3 machines. It must be suitable for a customer with 100 machines. And OpenStack scales brilliant. So with our hardware, we take a hyper-converged approach. This is cool. Sites can use the same software stacks, the same software modules, the same application if it's a big or a small customer. And so we are not a software company. We are a machinery supplier. So we have all the most competences on machine engineering and not in software. We have some people in software, but not as other guys.
When you're writing the applications and services, are you delivering those in containers at the moment, or is that part of a future plan?
Existing is in virtual machines. Existing is the legacy, and the new one is done in containers. We have starting, we called it on our common service platform. This is a container-based architecture, and now we call it common service. This platform, all services are located, which could be used by many applications. Easy, simple authentication, for example, messaging and shift management in a plant or something. This is only the common service platform, and this common platform allows us to, that the services are communicating with each other. We have RabbitMQ approach for this and allows us to build in a lot of services. This allows us to balance them and zero downtime updates. So we go in this way and we create the first couple of services. And the idea is in the end of this year, let me say realistic, beginning of next year, to have the first application container based. The software is done. Now we are in a testing phase. And the customer I show on the movie, he's open for us to go with this way. He's our pilot and he supports us. We talked about clearly with him about the risks. And we say what we have for fallback strategies. And he said, okay, agree, as long as my production is not affected, I go with you and see what we can do together.
Where are you when it comes to integration with ERP suites? So there'll be people out there who are maybe using SAP, or they're using some of the Oracle suites or some of the larger suites for their business. Are you looking to integrate your applications into those suites or just do a data exchange?
For sure, we have to interface with ERP systems. All bigger customers have one. This is not either or. Sometimes the customer said, okay, I have done a lot of the application stuff in the ERP system, because they customize the ERP and say, okay, we customize it especially for textile. Now, as we show them our approach, they said, can we turn back the time and said, maybe you can do better because you are closer to the process. We have more insights than he ever can have. Okay, let us talk about the interfaces again. Maybe they ask us that we implement some features he has already done in an ERP or SAP and do it better for him because we have these insights.
Sounds like you're going to have a very busy couple of years ahead of you.
Yes. I look into my retirement. No.
Jörg, thank you for your time today.
Thank you. Thanks, Ian.